Hey, welcome to Conversations with a Therapist podcast. I'm Jennifer Chalo, I'm a counseling psychologist and I am a writer, and I am also the host of this show. My work focuses on breaking down complex psychological concepts into practical and actionable frameworks that you can implement today to build a meaningful life. If that is something that you're interested in, then I highly, highly encourage you to subscribe to this podcast and share the link with at least one person in your contact list. You never know who desperately needs to hear this message today. And you could be the person that connects them to a resource that changes the rest of their life. Thank you so much for stopping by. If you have any questions about psychology, then send them to the email address in the description box. With that said, let's jump right into today's episode. If you have been watching the news in the last couple of weeks and months, then I am sure you have come across the Shakahola massacre story. I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry, and it says that the Kenyan Red Cross reported on 30th April that 410 individuals, including 227 minors, were missing. As of 14th June, the total number of reported deaths was 318. And that number might be rising because those reported missing has reached 613. So the question is, how did this one man, how did Mackenzie manage to convince over 300 people to starve themselves to death to meet Jesus? That is the question. To answer that question, I did what I do best. I went into a rabbit hole, and that rabbit hole led me down a path of understanding cults, and I managed to prepare several topics that I think everybody needs to learn about cults, because these things do not happen in isolation. Mackenzie's cult is not the first, it's not the last. And if we want to avoid a repeat of this, we need to be more vigilant, we need to be more knowledgeable about how cults operate. In the next couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about everything to do with cults. We're going to be talking about the psychology of cults. I'll cover stuff about the anatomy of a cult so that you know whether you're in a cult or not, because you could be in a cult and you don't know. So I'll cover that question by telling you about the characteristics of cults. We'll be talking again about the psychology that cult leaders use to lure you into a cult, because they use psychological concepts, many of them. About, so far, the ones that I identified are about 11, and there's more, obviously. So we'll be trying to understand what psychological concepts do they borrow to make you one of their members. Then we'll be talking about why people join cults, because that is also a good question. People keep asking, why would anyone join a cult? The answer might surprise you, and I hope it will surprise you, because it surprised me. In the research, I found out a lot of information that was quite eye-opening. The next thing we'll be talking about in a separate episode will also be how people get lured into cults. So what do cult leaders and recruiters looking for followers, what do they do to you to make you a part of the cult? How do they lure you? What do they do? Other than that, we'll be speaking about the indoctrination process. How do the step-by-step, you know, I love step-by-step breakdowns of things. I want to know how exactly does one move from a regular person to a cult member. And so I'll be giving you the step-by-step breakdown of how people become indoctrinated into a cult. After that, we'll be covering something that people keep asking about, whether people who get lured into cults are just people who are not smart enough, or people who think that they are smart enough that they can never be lured into a cult. And so we'll be talking about which people get lured in cults, essentially. What makes you an easy target to be lured into a cult? What will they be looking for? What characteristics will they be looking for in you to lure you into their cult? Then finally, we'll be covering about, actually no, the second last episode, we are going to be talking about the psychology of cult leaders. What is it about them that makes them powerful leaders that people follow to even to their death sometimes, given the case of Mackenzie, for example. And finally, we'll be talking about how social media makes it easy to be indoctrinated into a cult. Because it's very easy, like right now, almost everybody in social media, like we have over 4 billion people on social media, yeah? people are connected to the internet. So there are so many easy ways that people can use social media to lure you into their cult. And you will join that cult knowingly or unknowingly, because most people don't know they're in cults actually. And most people who are in cults don't even admit that they are in cults. Yeah, that's the stuff we'll be covering in the next couple of episodes. So if you are interested in that kind of content, if you're interested in learning a deep dive into cults, then this is the show for you. To start us off, let's talk about what exactly a cult is. So there are many definitions on the internet and you're going to come across them. The one that I found interesting, I got two of them that I found quite interesting and they made me think hard. And they are that a cult is a group or a movement held together by a shared commitment to a charismatic leader or ideology. It has a belief system that it has all the answers to life's questions and offers a special solution to be gained only by following the leader's rules. Of course, you know that is classic cult, because the main thing there is having a charismatic leader or an ideology. So you'll find that there are some cults where people are not necessarily following one person. They're probably following something. It's just a movement that follows a particular thing. And it didn't start, of course, it doesn't start off as a movement. Ordinarily, it starts off with a leader. And maybe now, after the leadership has managed to convince many people, it builds a hierarchy where they no longer need to follow the leader. They just follow the other people who are in the cult. And so it becomes an entire movement. Then, cults often use deceptive recruitment techniques, and they have an interest in controlling people's behavior, people's access to information, people's thoughts, and people's emotions. And the other thing about cults is that they will demand absolute unquestioning devotion, loyalty, and obedience. I don't think you're ever going to hear of a cult where the leader or the ideology that they follow and the people enforcing that ideology do not need you to be loyal to them. They want you to be obedient to whatever the organization, the group follows. They need you to obey everything. You are not allowed to talk to people who have been in the cult and left. So maybe ex-members, you're not allowed to talk to those people. And if you do talk to those people, you're always seen as a person who's fighting the organization. For example, I've had people like, for example, in Jehovah Witnesses. I'm not calling Jehovah Witnesses a cult. Let me just say that. But I have had people in the Jehovah Witnesses church say that once you leave Jehovah Witness, you are not allowed to talk to the people who have been left behind. And even those people who have been left behind are not allowed to talk to you, because you might corrupt them. You are excommunicated completely. You're cut off from every person that is connected to the church. So that's how cults ordinarily will require you to behave. You are not allowed to talk to other people, especially people who have been members of that cult and left. The other thing is that you're not allowed to question the beliefs of a cult. You're not allowed to question the leader. You're not allowed to have critical thinking. You're supposed to be a silent follower or an active follower who is not questioning. So if you're going to be active in the organization, you're not supposed to be questioning the organization or the leader himself or herself, because some cults are led by women. So there's this guy, you can look him up. His name is Stephen Hassan. He is a mental health professional who specializes in helping people to recover from mind control and helping people and their loved ones to exit the cult world without coercion. So he helps you manage that transition. And he has been doing a lot of research in cults, mind control and all that. So check him out and you are going to understand some of the things that he talks about when it comes to cults. He has a lot of information that is very, very valuable, especially if you have been in a cult before and you're trying to integrate back into the world, or if you know somebody, a friend, a family member who is in a cult and you're trying to help them leave the cult, then you could find a lot of information from his website. So check him out. His name is Stephen Hassan, Stephen Hassan. There are several types of cults. Not all of them are religious, but most of them that we know of are religious. There are others that are political. There are others that are self-improvement cults. In my opinion, most cults are basically a pyramid scheme. They have a leader. They have a few minions who are helping the leader and catering to the leader. And then there are followers. And the followers are the people who are not meant to ask questions. They're supposed to follow the leadership without making too much of a fuss. In most cults, you'll find that the leadership is hierarchical. And for example, when we talk about the political cults, you'll find that these are cults that are looking to make changes in society. They are cults that they're not out to just disrupt the world. They just want to make changes in society. And eventually now, they transition into destructive movements. That's how cults ordinarily will change. When it comes to self-improvement and personal development cults, you're going to find that they are very common in these movements. You'll hear self-esteem, leadership trainings, they're teaching you about meditation practices. I'm not saying all these things are cults. I'm saying that some of them can start off like that. So they'll start off teaching you basic things like self-esteem, personal development, helping you become a better person. But then with time, it becomes a movement that eventually becomes destructive. So they don't always start off as bad things. That's the one thing that is very common with cults. Often they'll start off from a very good place. People just want to develop themselves, make themselves better. And that's how people end up finding themselves in a cult. Because when they started, when they joined, they did not join a cult. They joined a movement that was going to help them deal with a particular thing. So these cults, the thing, like I've said before, the thing that they try to sell to you a lot is that they have found a solution to some of life's biggest problems. And if you join, you're going to find the solution with them. They're going to help you figure out whatever you're struggling with. For example, I've seen these self-improvement ones, the ones where they teach you about to become a better human being, to become better in your life, to grow, to become a better leader, to become a better whatever you are trying to become a better of. They will always have something that they're selling to you beyond the joining. So for them to keep you hooked in the process and to never let you go, you'll find that they will keep asking you to sign up for a new seminar, to sign up for a new training. There's a new workshop that is coming, coaching, there's retreats. Like, you never graduate from that process. There's always something new that you're going to be sold to buy so that you can continue being in that organization or cult or that movement, if I may say. Again, I want to make sure that this is heard loud and clear. I am not saying that self-improvement is a bad thing. I am not saying that people who do self-improvement work are cult leaders. I'm not saying that people who join self-improvement movements are in a cult. I am saying that some of them can become cultic in their behaviors. So be on the lookout for that. Remember that cults operate on one principle, and that principle is fear. They want to keep you afraid. They want to keep you uninformed, and they want to keep you isolated. And that is a huge marker for you to know whether whatever you're following right now is a cult or not. Do the leaders or the movement itself, does it give you that pressure to feel that you're afraid, to make you feel afraid, to make you feel uninformed? They tell you what you're supposed to read or what you're not supposed to read. Do they isolate you? Do they keep you in the dark? Do they say that you cannot question the leadership, whether they are saying that openly or they are saying that by the behavior that they exhibit? Are people punished for asking questions? Are people shunned? Are people shamed for asking questions, for bringing up their concerns? Or is open dialogue allowed and encouraged? That is a huge, huge marker of whether whatever you are in is a cult. So think about those things as we go on. I want you to carry that at the back of your mind as we go on and as we talk about these cults and the things that they are and they aren't. A few examples of cults, of course, is the Shakahola one that I opened with. I mentioned it. If you have not yet heard about it, please go and Google it and see what happened and hear the horrifying stories. It's really intense. It's one of those intense ones. Over 300 people are dead, and it is really, really sad. Another cult that has been very popular in Kenya is, some people call it a cult. Again, I'm saying some of these things are considered cults when you Google them, but this is not me saying that they're cults. I'm just sharing information. So for example, Mungiki is considered a political or religious cult, stroke religious cult. It is considered to be both of those things by some people. Again, as I have said, this is not me making statements and declarations. I am just passing on information that is out in the public domain. Okay, other cult that was common in 2018 is one called Young Lad Saints. There's another one that happened in the 20th century that was in Western Kenya. That was a Western Kenya, I think Nyanza. It was called the Mumbo cult. It was led by a guy called Onyango Dunde. Some people say Prophet of Worlds Church is a cult. we are going to see the characteristics of cults, and you can make these decisions for yourself and decide whether whatever you're following or whatever you're hearing is really a cult or not. Finger of God, I don't know if you guys remember Helon, Joseph Helon. Yeah, he was leading a church called Finger of God, and some people consider that to be a cult. There's another one that happened in Uganda where 530 people died. They were burnt in a church, and they were burnt, and it was being considered a shortcut to heaven. That was the message they were being sold. With the Shakahola one, the message was that you're going to starve to death so that you can meet Jesus. This one was a shortcut to heaven. It was led by a lady called Credonia Mwerinde and another guy called Joseph Kibwetere. So those two people were leading this particular cult in Uganda, a place called Kanungu. It's now called Kanungu Massacre, because that was just a massacre, pure massacre. 530 people burnt to death. There's some people who consider, as I've said, Jehovah's Witnesses to be a cult. Again, not a statement, just relaying facts. There's some people who consider Opus Dei, the Catholic one, to be a cult. Scientology is considered by some people to be a cult. There are some other cults from the West, like the Manson family that was led by Charles Manson. There is Nixium that was led by a guy called Keith. You can check it out. Nixium, even, I think there's a documentary about it. There's another one called the Moonies. They were led by Reverend Sun Myung Moon. Hey, Junang Kali. Yeah, those guys were the Korean Unification Church, and it was in America. It was led by that guy, Sun Moon. It was called the Moonies. Google that. You're going to see what they did, how they did it, and why. That's not a justification. Again, it's just to understand how cults operate. One that is very, very, very popular is the People's Temple, where it's called the Johnstone Massacre, actually. Over 900 people died, including children, and they drank poison. They were given poison. Some of them were killed, but most of them drank poison, and it was led by a guy called Jim Jones. There's a documentary about it as well. I have watched that documentary. It is intense. That's called the People's Temple, also called the Johnstone Massacre. There's another cult called the Shoko Asahara, led by Shinrikyo. I don't know how to pronounce their names, Manzi. These guys have like difficult names, but anyway, check them out. Shoko Asahara was another cult that also was in the West. Branch Davidians, that was led by David Koresh. There's another one called the 12 Tribes that was led by Eugene Spriggs. All those are in the West, America mostly. There's one that was the Children of God, the sex cult that was called the Children of God. It was led by a guy called David, and he used to tell women to be happy hookers for Jesus. So check that one out as well. There's another one called Heaven's Gate. Actually, that one, people died in their sleep. That's a scary one. I also watched a couple of videos about it. It's really, really scary. Modern day cults, some of them that people consider to be cults are there's some people who think that Bentinho Massaro is a cult leader and that he's leading a cult. Again, these are just statements that have been made in the public. Just Google those names plus cults at the end and see what the public thinks about these specific people. Another popular one that is in the social media space is this lady called Teal Swan, and people think Teal Swan is also leading a cult. Two or three people, I don't know how many people have died from her cult, and her message about suicide is actually very controversial. The things that she says about suicide are very controversial, according to some people. And so there's some people who consider Teal Swan to be a cult leader. And yeah, go read about these things so that you know what we are talking about. By the time we start getting into the big questions about whether you're in a cult or not, and the psychology of cults, and why people get lured into cults, how people get lured into cults, have an idea of these things, just go and do a bit of research. And yeah, we'll be deconstructing to understand everything to do with cults so that we are never caught unawares. There's a Bible verse that says that people perish because of lack of wisdom, and I'm not claiming to be a peddler of wisdom. I'm just claiming that we are going to be getting a lot of wisdom from this next couple of episodes, so check that out. Read a little bit more about cults, read a little bit more about the whatever movements you follow, And then we are going to be checking out and understanding, are these movements cults or not? Remember, some of these things are subjective. A cult could have a group or a particular movement could have many characteristics of a cult and end up not being a cult. Again, there's no one definition at a bam, because you've met all these specific criteria, yet now you're entirely a cult. Sometimes they're not cults. The other thing is that some cults are destructive, others are not destructive, and that's something you're going to see again. The examples that I've given, most of them are destructive cults. Most of them are cults that have led to some people dying. Some of them, many people have died. Others, one or two people have died. Still, it's death and it's loss and it's painful, especially to the family members that are left behind. So think about that. Think about the examples that I've given and see whether these are some people that you know. Listen to the messages that they share and understand why they share them, and be open-minded. By the way, as we get into this thing, I will highly, highly encourage that you are open-minded about the things that we're talking about. The thing I will end with on this episode is to say again that cults operate on fear, and they will find as many creative ways as possible to keep you afraid, uninformed, and isolated. And that is a good starting point that you can use to assess whether what you are in is a cult or not. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Stick around for the next episode. Check it out. It's going to be up immediately after this one. So let me know if you have any questions about cults. Let me know if you have any experiences with cults, and we'll be answering all the questions that come up. Thank you very much, and have a good one. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your mental health. And yeah, I'll see you later. Bye.